Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I am.
You are. It's true. You are. You're in the third and then you're in the fourth dimension. There's no question about it. I've seen you in both places. One time I was walking down the street. Who did I see? Brad Cullen. One time I was off surfing and sailing and astral projecting in the fourth dimension. Who did I see? Brad Cullen. You get around, buddy. You really get around.
What do you expect?
Well, I wonder if people are going to think we've tipped over the edge with this fourth dimension concept here. What do you think? Do you think people could think we've gone too far?
Are you kidding with some of the stuff that we've covered in the last 18 months? This is tame, I think.
Tame? I don't know. Fourth dimension, it's kind of like to space and beyond.
Well, yeah, well, if that's how they feel, they can just go look at somebody else's stuff.
Yeah, they can just go to the fifth dimension then, right?
Yeah, hey, I like that, yeah.
So I posted 5. You've been just writing like a madman. I get an article a day. Holy smokes, you are inspired about this fifth dimension, or sorry, fourth dimension thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Well, what is it about the concept of the fourth dimension that is most inspiring to you so far? And I know you've already written up to what, chapter 10?
I just fired off number 14 to you this very morning.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so far behind. So, what is it out of all those things that's inspired you the most? What's got you so fired up?
Well, I have to go back to where it started for me. I was asked to participate in a discussion group at a community college. What got me started was this guy, the professor, was teaching on quantum mechanics, you know, just a smattering of giving us a background of the history of physics, particularly since the coming on the scene of our dear friend Albert Einstein. And it just blew me away because, and here is it. This is the essence of why I get excited about it. I saw, and I didn't expect to, but I saw everything I have experienced in the spiritual realm. That is, in that realm, however you want to put it, where you're communicating, where I felt new, you know, I was communicating and being received by God, by whatever other name, was right there. Everything that was coming along in the fourth dimension as was being expressed by science was so spiritual, it blew me away. And here they're proving things daily. They're just getting into new arenas all the time, daily, from what they're learning from scientific experiments. And people basically in religion have their heads, and I too, you know, I have a bent, but have my head stuck in the sand, when right in front of us is a whole vista that proves the very stuff that some of the stuff that we've been talking about, that, you know, age reversal and getting into the speed of light and neutrinos and, you know, atomic particulate and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so fascinating to me. It is reality. And most people want to think in terms of the reality of what we can see and smell and, you know, the five sense routine of the third dimension. And it's nothing. It's not reality. It's a shadow of reality. Reality happens at the fourth dimension. That's where it all ends.
Well, I take a bit of exception with what you said. You said that there is no reality and that we have senses, that five senses, that suggest to us that you may be wrong, that there is some substance to the reality that we're experiencing in three dimensions.
Well,
and while I do agree that the fourth dimension has a greater possibility for experience. I don't want to discount and throw away the third dimension. I mean, we're here, aren't we? I mean, let's have some fun. Life and that more abundantly.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah?
Let me say this to you with all sincerity. I don't care what you think.
Well, you better start caring, buddy. Put up your dukes.
No, you just quit publishing my stuff. I know. I'm in a tenuous position.
Oh, no, I wouldn't quit. I'd just complain about it or put political or some sort of commentary that denigrates it in some way to go along with it. Please excuse this recent article from Brad. He must be off his rocker or something like that.
That's what you've done all along. Hey, seriously, the quote that purportedly came out of Jesus' mouth, that is, I came to bring you life and that more abundantly, I think that's what the life is he's talking about. That's the abundant life. You know, we're so stuck in thinking that what we see with our eyes, let me back all that. You mentioned something that I saw demonstrated in this class I was talking about, this discussion group, demonstrated, and that is that our vision is so limited to, you know, you've got X-rays and gamma rays and all that stuff, you know, and what we can see and what we can't see. We only see just...
It's about 10%. The visual light spectrum is about somewhere between 10 and 15% of the total light spectrum. Yes.
I don't think it's that much.
Oh, okay. You could be right. I'm not sure, but it's a minor component, the visual light spectrum. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and here
the sound spectrum is the same too. Obviously, I mean, the perfect example of that is the dog whistle, right?
Sure. And smell and all kinds of things. I think I started this series. I'm not sure, but I'm somewhere back there. I said some of the things that fascinated me about the fact that here we think that we human beings are the highest, you know, vibration, if you would, physically, and yet there's all kinds of species that are supposedly lower than humans that can do so many things that we can't do.
Right.
You know, and visual and senses, hearing and, you know, watching a robin sit there with its head cocked out in the backyard, and all of a sudden, bang, he gets a worm, you know. That is so uncanny. Or watching a flock of geese overhead as they swerve back and forth together, just like they were on a string, you know.
Yeah, or a school of fish.
Yeah, oh, my word, yeah.
I mean, that's, I don't know if you've ever scuba dived, but oh my gosh, watching a school of fish, how they move simultaneously, it's totally amazing to me how they can move like that, all at the same time and move in the same direction. They're obviously connected at some level that we can't perceive. They're, you know, our ignorance of what's really going on in the third dimension is really exaggerated when you notice things like that. So what I find interesting about the fourth dimension concept that you're presenting is that it poses a middle ground for both science and spirituality, but also a danger to both, because either one could become very quickly rolled up and tossed out if some concrete facts are supported by some of the math that's come out in quantum physics to show that, you know, there is a fourth dimension. Obviously, most mathematical equations in quantum physics don't work properly without, I think, what it is, at least 10 or 11 dimensions. As we expand our knowledge and understanding of what that fourth dimension is and how we actually do operate on it, while a lot of the religious gobbledygook could quite quickly get tossed out of the window, and a lot of the stodgy viewpoints that science has had could also get tossed right out the window as well. So we're on some groundbreaking stuff here when we're starting to talk about another dimension and started talking about actually living and working and practicing using whatever influence or control or participation we have in that dimension. You know, after reading your series, I started to look at my dog differently. I started to think to myself, well, I used to think you're stupid, now I'm not so sure. You know? Who knows? What could he be doing in the fourth dimension? I have no idea. He's always filled with love.
Wait a minute. Ryan, are you saying that the stuff I write is for dogs?
Well, no. But that's a good one. I like that a lot. In actual fact, it's all could be quite possible that the dogs already know everything that you write anyway.
I'm not too sure that isn't true. Well,
we don't know anymore, do we? When we put ourselves in the arena called the fourth dimension, the phrase that I see that pops up in so many of your articles, and especially now that you're talking about the fourth dimension, don't know squat. We're just scratching the surface of a whole unexplored world here. It's very exciting to me.
I want to kind of jump on that as a thing to, conversationally at least, to see where it takes us, because it seems to me that when we try to understand at any fundamental level anything, we get trapped into the limits of our intellectual capacity. And, you know, having worked with people who have far superior intellects to my own, I mean, they're just a whole lot dang smarter than I am at awe with how hung up they get in their own thinking and wanting to understand, when I can sail along in some arenas and you know, one of the things that we've made our purpose on this website is to introduce, at least it's what I think you've made your purpose, and I'm joined in, tell me now if I'm wrong after 18 months, but that our purpose is to introduce people to the fact that there are myriad ways of receiving healing that go far beyond just medicine, that go far beyond some of the things we've traditionally thought of as, quote, faith healing. But the more you try to understand it, the more you become boggled in it. And what I've stumbled on, for me, is this whole thing. And I would have to say I stumbled on it to a large extent from that most recent book you published, which was The Unrecognized You Discovered, by just asking our spirit parent, what now? And so often, that's really it. You know, healing begins so often from a other dimension level, from just asking a person or a group of persons, you know, what now? What, you know, why are we here? Meaning, why are you here right now, this moment? In the moment, why are you here? That's fourth dimension. Because once you get to asking that question and realizing you can't come up with any answers, because in this realm, it's now. Whatever's going on now, right now, the source is willing to give to you the answer for now. But it won't be worth a hoot tomorrow.
Because of what? Because of this other reality that interplays with our lives? You know, is that why it's
ongoing? And, you know, you and I have stumbled over the thought, I say stumbled, but I think it's a good way of putting it, over the thought that we process things differently with our minds.
Yeah.
A lot of times you have no understanding of what I'm talking about. A lot of times I have no understanding what on earth you're talking about. You know, and what's beautiful, I think, in our relationship is I respect that mind of yours as much as anybody I know. And, you know, I've had the privilege of knowing and working with, you know, physicists and physicians and, you know, scientists from all kinds of walks. And, you know, they're very, very bright, very, very intelligent, and very well schooled in their particular topics, And the most refreshing thing I still come to is that astronomer of 50 years with his slide presentation from the Hubble telescope and his big slide that said, we don't know squat. And here's a guy in his 70s that's still working in the profession. What a delight for this guy to be so humble. And obviously what humbled him was that in the past 5 years, all the astronomical discoveries, particularly the stuff uncovered by Hubble, just made him realize that 50 years of study meant nothing.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I can say with some arrogance that, hey, you want to know what's happening? You know, start probing the fourth dimension. Probing what you don't know, that's all. You know, quit trying to prove that your belief system. I had a guy write me just in the last couple of weeks, you know, well, if I was going to, if there was a better religion than the one I have, that's where I'd go, wouldn't I? That's always my fucking email. Why go there? You know.
Well, because it's safe and secure. And we're not talking about safe and secure. We're going to a place where you don't have any of your five senses. You don't have access to previous knowledge and understanding. And there's no course that you can take to help you. I was recently watching a documentary on one of my favorite musicians as a young fella, George Harrison. And he was saying that he met a Swami, and the Swami said to him, there is no God unless you can know him. There is no God unless you can experience him. It is better that you stay an atheist than to believe in something that you don't know. And unfortunately, that's what we have with religion. It's forced belief systems where we are told that, well, if you believe this, you have to believe that. And there's no experiential data to support it. And we don't know how to use experiential data in the fourth dimension yet. We're just scratching the surface of prayer and understanding what that means. I have a friend of mine who really works hard at promoting something called a healing circle, where a group of people get together and they bring a picture of a loved one or a friend who needs healing, and they all gather around and they focus on that one person and send them loving energy and healing, and the person is healed. So this is fourth dimension stuff that we know nothing about. We don't know how it works. We don't know how to work in that realm. And hey, it's time to poke a little. Let's see how far we can go with this. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Let's push the boundaries of the fourth dimension.
Well, all right. I'm ready.
All right. Well, keep on writing, and I'm going to keep posting. I'm going to try and catch up to you, and as soon as I catch up to you, maybe we can start doing some more podcasts.
Well, it's about time. I've kind of thought you were being lazy.
Yeah. That's me. Yeah.
I know that's not true about you, but anyway, you mean we're winding this down? This is it?
Well, this is a good introductory, right? I mean, a lot of the material that you've posted in most of your articles is very self-explanatory, and sometimes it may require reading twice. I've enjoyed reading it twice, and I found that the second time around, when I actually get to posting it, I read it, and it opens up for me a little bit more. So I want to encourage our readers to do that as well. And I don't want to bog them down with hours and hours of podcasts, so let's just keep going with the flow. And I'm going to try and post as many articles this week as I did last week, too. I'll make a concerted effort to try and catch up to you.
Well, you're running me ragged, bro.
I'm not driving the bus here. We'll do our best. So thanks, Brad. I appreciate your time today, and I'll be back.
Can I say one thing?
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Ryan.
Bye, Brad.